This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:11 and you are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So first up, you may have seen a lot of buzz surrounding a new documentary, The Tinder Swindler, that's a hard one to say, which highlights love scams and how damaging they are. So we have some updates and wanted to look at this issue in the Malaysian context.
So if you haven't watched it already, I haven't actually caught it yet. I've just seen trailers, but I did read the article that a lot of this was based on. It revolves around Shimon Hayut, who is a con man. And he, the latest development of this is that he's been banned from the dating app. But he allegedly met with women on Tinder before swindling them for millions of dollars after catfishing them into believing that he was Simon Leviev, the son of an Israeli diamond tycoon. And he also spent 5 months of a 15-month sentence in an Israeli prison in 2019. And basically, he conned women into handing over cash, credit cards, by telling them that his life was in danger. If you even take a look at the trailer to this, I think you'll get a sense of how much finesse this entire con was executed with, and I think the levels to which he went to convince them that he was indeed who he claimed he was.
Yes, and I think that while the specifics of this case might not necessarily be something we see replicated elsewhere, the broad strokes of it are, right, in that you have somebody who presents themselves as a romantic partner who subsequently has some sort of difficulty that requires financial help, and by then you are emotionally entangled with them and think, okay, yeah, you are this person that I know and I love, and therefore I will send you $20,000 in order to do what you need to do, for example. And these are sort of the broad strokes. We have of course, seen a number of these cases happen in Malaysia, a fair amount actually simply last year, perhaps because of the relative isolation that a lot of us were living with, and also the fact that so many of our interactions moved online, moved into the virtual space. For example, in April last year, a 44-year-old woman lost almost her entire life savings of $2.7 million to an quote-unquote American pilot that she met on a social networking site. We are also seeing other numbers like a $28,000 loss. This was in Singapore, where a 41-year-old fell victim to a Selangor-based internet love scam syndicate, meeting a man on Facebook who told her he was running an oil rig project in Ukraine, promising to marry her after that was completed. And then he asked for a loan, saying that there was a machinery malfunction and so on.
So it, let's see, there are some others as well. This one in December 2021, where a 59-year-old kindergarten teacher lost 4,000 ringgit after claiming to meeting someone who claimed to be Tengku Zafrul, our finance minister. So I think the thing to focus on here is essentially the fact that, as you said, Lynn, a lot of people are turning to the online space to meet, to find love, to meet someone, to be in a relationship. And along with that comes, I think, the challenges of perhaps things that are also a reality in quote-unquote real life, verifying that what they're saying is true, that they are indeed who they are. But that layer of anonymity or the sophistication of the tools that the internet and the entire digital space offers means that it has become, I think, even more easy for people to execute these kinds of scams.
To execute it in what seems to be a credible and accountable way. So I think that that's something that's important. Also important is to look at the scope of the issue, because I think when you see it on an individual basis, these are terrifying numbers, right? Because we really are looking at people's life savings here. But if you look at a whole, right, according to PDRM, in 2019, there were losses of over 79 million ringgit overall. In 2020, it's losses amounting to more than 58 million. In the first 4 months of 2021, they had already seen losses involving about 20.58 million. So the point is, every year it's in the tens of millions. And that's just, it's a problem. It's a problem. And I think it's one that it's also hard to talk about openly because of the stigma attached to it.
The stigma is actually a real thing, isn't it? Because if we hear or if we see how people talk about those who do get taken in by these scams, as often people joke about it, There's often derogatory remarks passed about, you know, what do you expect if you try and meet someone online? Or how did they not know that this was fake? And I don't think these sorts of responses help when it comes to creating a conducive environment for people to come through. And then by extension, to actually talk about how we can resolve these issues. How can people be more informed, more aware when they do, you know, when they do venture into meeting new people, essentially. That's what we're going to talk about. Love scams, but in a larger sense, how they happen, how we can safeguard against them. Let us know, have you ever met someone that you thought might be trying to scam you? What tipped you off? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Nadia Shariani Mohammad Sharif, who is a criminologist and forensic science lecturer. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium, BFM 89.9.
It is 5:18. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about love scams. You know, Tinder Swindler is trending right now. It's just come out on Netflix. And that got us thinking about the local context and how we always hear of these headlines. We wanted to get behind them. Let us know. Have you ever met someone who you thought might be trying to scam you? What tipped you off? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Nadia Shariani Sharif, criminologist and forensic science lecturer at the Management and Science University. Nadia, thanks for being with us today.
Hi, Aline. Hi, Sharmila. Thanks for having me.
So to start off, what forms do love scams typically take? What are some of the common ones that we've seen?
Okay, so usually the scammers will make the victims believe that they are in a relationship. So usually they will start by contacting the victim, building rapport, and then they will see what are actually the style of the victim. So they will design their approach according to the victim's style. So if the victim is actually, for example, looking for love, so they will provide love. They will, if the victim is actually looking for attention, so they will design their approach you know, by providing attention to the victim until they are sure that the victim is actually have a put trust to the scammer. Okay, until this will depends on the victims. Okay, until they will ask money. So that's actually the common modus operandi that usually the scammers will use.
So you mentioned money and the cases that make the news often involve, and we talked about this, right, people being swindled out of large sums. But are there actually other ways in which people are taken advantage of beyond the financial?
So usually these scammers are only interested after money. So they will go for, they will try their best in any ways, okay, to get the large sum of money from the victims. But there are actually a few cases which I read where they are actually involving damaging the victim's reputation. For example, like some actually ask the victims to share nude pictures, so they will use that. So apart from the financial loss, so the victim also might suffer some reputation damage. But it's actually very very rare cases lah.
And how common is this issue really?
It is really very common in Malaysia. In fact, in Malay, love scam itself actually the sum actually can could amount up to 20 million. I'm not very sure about the recent statistics, but 20 million itself is actually a very huge amount. Okay, as compared to, I mean, like we have other financial crime as well, but love scam itself actually not common. So it's actually very common.
How do scammers identify individuals who are likely to fall for their schemes?
All right, so usually they will victims. So this can actually be done through dating apps, through social media. All right, so any kind of online platforms, okay, where people can actually use actually for social communication. And these platforms is actually the medium where they actually will use, okay, to screen for their victims. So some people will might ask, is there any type or specific appearance or characteristics that they will look for? Actually, no, but there are certain, certain things that will look into their victims. Okay, so one thing is actually about how much information that you actually share online. Did you private your account, your social media account, or do you unprivate it? So if you actually unprivate it, so meaning to say that many people can actually access to the information. So from this information, this is actually how they study the victim. Who are you? What are your profession? What do you do? What are your lifestyles, right? Because these are social media platforms, right? So people will tend to share what are their preferences. Sometimes, scrolling down your post, your comments, who are your friends are, these cameras can actually tell what are your interests. So from there, that's actually how they can, tailor their approach, okay, before that, they can tailor their approach to these particular victims. So after they actually look into the, finding all this information about the victim, they will, what they will do, okay, they will throw their bait, okay, see if the victim is approachable or not. So they will try to see the reaction of the victim. So if the victim is actually reacting from the simple hi, design their other approach, okay, how to make sure that this victim, okay, will finally put trust and, make them believe that they are actually in a relationship before actually ask a lot sum of money from them. It depends. So these cameras usually they have a lot of scripts, okay, when they are actually approaching this victim. So it's not like if the victim is actually replying like this, so they know how to counter back until that the victim comply to them.
So one thing here is that many reported victims seem to be female. Why do you think this is?
I think it's actually because female by nature, they're actually looking for tender love and care, TLC, right? So why the name is actually Love Scam is actually the reason is actually involving a emotional or psychological manipulation. So what the scammers do is actually they use this TLC to make sure that the victim actually put some trust, okay, believe that they're actually in a relationship until they can actually, manipulate these victims by asking them a large sum of money. So that I think that that's actually the reasons why. But if we look into other types of scams, there is actually no gender-specific profiles, okay, in terms of the victims.
We just have about 2 minutes left, but what are some red flags that people should be aware of to avoid being duped by something like this? Are there early signs that we can keep an eye out for?
So, since it's actually the relationship itself starts from the social media, right? Okay, so usually these scammers they will be always claim that they are overseas, they are uncontactable. So the mean of the communication is usually only through a video call. If the victim actually asking for video calls or maybe a phone call, okay, they will give a lot of excuses. So that is actually one of the red flags. Okay, they will try to avoid as much as they can for a direct communication. So those are actually the red flags that we can or a telltale sign. Okay, to see that if you are actually in a relationship. If it's like a true relationship or it's like a fake relationship.
Nadia, thanks for speaking with us today. That was Nadia Shariani Sharif, a criminologist and forensic science lecturer at the Management and Science University, speaking to us about love scams, really, how they work, and more importantly, I think, how to spot them or what are some red flags to keep an eye out for. We're talking about this on the wake of, for one, the Tinder Swindler is out on Netflix. Everyone's talking about it. But also, this is actually something that happens here quite often. We only hear about the big ones, but there are other forms in which this takes place. And essentially people lose money are taken advantage of. We'd like to hear from you. Have you ever met someone that you thought might be trying to scam you? What tipped you off? You can call us 777-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some messages.
Yes. So let's see. Suki says, I do agree that love scams in Malaysia have been increasing because of the frequent use of social media during the pandemic. In my opinion, it is important to always be cautious with how the other person speaks, especially when they are purposely mentioning that they need money.
I mean, I think there are a number of things that we can sort of watch out for, right? And some are maybe obvious red flags, but others tend to be things that come up later. I do agree, though, that I think approaching and knowing what to look out for, what questions to ask would be one of those things. Do keep those thoughts coming. You can call us 777-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.